This is the beautiful part of the program where we call it throw Maloney under the bus. As you can't play the big Cardinals football open and then flash that in front of Wolf on the screen and not have him totally distracted. I blame Maloney.
What did Ayton do? What? I see it right here in the headline. He draws himself? All right, that's my initial reaction right there. DeAndre Ayton draws himself dunking on Joel Embiid.
The story is that Joel Embiid, if you remember, everyone was comparing Ayton to Embiid, and Embiid then tweeted out, "Don't compare Ayton to me. I play defense."
Wow.
So that was during the draft. So there's already a little battle going on, and Joel Embiid on social media likes to have battles with just about everybody. So therefore, at Panini America has these cards that you make your own basketball card. Make your own card. So therefore, DeAndre Ayton, in drawing his own card, has his foot planted squarely on the face of a player, of a stick figure. He's dunking the basketball, and the stick figure is wearing a jersey that says PHI 21. By the way, if you don't know, Joel Embiid plays for Philadelphia and wears jersey number 21.
Yes. What's your initial reaction to that, Douglas?
My initial reaction to that is, what are you doing, Maloney? Because you know we were going to talk football, and then now Wolf will never get off this. Because for those of you that don't know, I don't know what's happened. In the first two or three years of the Doug and Wolf show, we were almost all sons all the time.
Yeah.
And kids, if you're about 15, 16 years old, you might not know this. There used to be this team in town called the Phoenix Suns who won all the time. Just, it seems like they won all the time. And it was fantastic to go to the games and to experience Steve Nash and the way they played and the D'Antoni offense and everything like that. Now, suddenly, any piece of Suns news, Wolf is all over. Wolf comes in here. Anytime there's something with Suns, begging, are we going to talk about this? Are we going to talk about this? No. They're playing a New Zealand team in preseason. Wolf, we're not talking about it.
Don't even care about that. Are you kidding me right now? DeAndre Ayton with the kind of talent that he has, Basinonians. If, in fact, he is a generational player, we're going to see improvement out of him exponentially. I'm talking about from the very beginning. From preseason, we're going to see improvement out of him. I don't think he's going to step back. I think he's going to improve. If, in fact, he is the generational player. I don't think he's going to step back. I think he's going to improve and get better and better and better and better. Hopefully, that's going to be the case for a guy that is so much talent. A generational talent, in my opinion. Based on what I've been told by guys that do this for a living. This is all they do, is evaluate players. So, to me, I feel really, really confident in saying that means he should get better. Exponentially better from the very first game he plays on, experience-wise. So let's see if that's going to be the case.
Hopefully. However, he did not outshine Marvin Bagley in the summer league.
Yes.
And I mean on an effort standpoint. I get they don't have a good point guard yet. I get that he wasn't getting the ball in the right spot, blah,
no,
blah, blah.
No, absolutely.
But you didn't compete in that area. So I'm the one that was losing my mind in November. I'm glad they drafted him. I'm glad he's here. But Ayton, I think you're a happy-go-lucky kind of guy too, and I don't know if you fully understand the weight that, fair or not, is there. You wanted to be the number one pick.
These are grown men.
Own it. Let's go.
DeAndre, these are grown men.
And this is a franchise that has a grand total of zero world championships. You know?
Man,
let's go.
So much more on this as the hour unfolds.
No, it doesn't. As
what?
The hour unfolds.
More?
There's no more Suns. As the month unfolds, As the next 6 weeks unfold, okay.
That is great.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're moving on. It's Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We'll be giving away tickets to the D-back series against the Angels for Bickley and Murata and Burns and Gambo. Just listen at 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner.
Well, number one, I have tremendous respect for David, you know, not just as a player, but as a person. And the way he handled the situation, you know, coming back and saying, you know what, this is my job, I want to go to work. And most important, that was something that he show to his teammates that he's committed. And, you know, everything's going to take care of itself. He's going to go out and perform well this year. And, you know, and hopefully everything works out on the other side that he gets what he wants. And we get what we want as well.
That was Steve Wilks yesterday. Basically, yesterday, if you didn't hear the Bickley and Marotta show, it was like playing against the Reds, okay? They had David Johnson on, and they had Steve Wilks on. So it was like playing against the Reds. Hey, just show up, do your job, and everything will go okay. And they got their job done. They had a very good show yesterday, and a lot of it was contract-centric. And the things David Johnson was saying about the contract were exactly what you want to hear.
I'm going to be out there and I'm going to play and show them, you know, the reason why I should get a contract extension. And that's my biggest thing. Prove all the everyone that I am back 100%. And I'm going to, you know, give it all I can. And I'm going to, you know, prove to them why I should be able to get that contract extension.
Man, do I love that right there. I love that for so many reasons. Number one, there are so many professional athletes, ladies and gentlemen. The last thing they want to do is have to prove to you that they're good again. The last thing that so many professional athletes want to say, the dirty word, if you will, prove. Prove it. It's one of the reasons why I loved it. Adrian Wilson, back when Adrian Wilson, A-Dub, right? Oh my goodness, the gas man. Blow you up in a heartbeat. Back when he was playing for the Arizona Cardinals, right? Came up with t-shirts and all it said on it during their playoff run, prove it. Prove it. Because you know what? That's what you've got to do when you compete at the highest level our species can generate. All you need to do is prove it. Every game, every play of every game. It is the magic of the New England Patriots. I was talking about this earlier. That's who they are. They believe that. It comes from their coach. You have to prove it every play, every practice, every game, every season. You have to prove it. It's a dirty word to so many professional athletes. They'll never use it.
You disrespected me.
You keep that word out of your mouth if you like it, right? Prove it. I love the fact David Johnson has got this mentality overall, and the fact that he actually used the word prove. Prove that I'm the same player that I was in 2016. There's nothing wrong with that, David. And if, in fact, he means it, which I know that he does, this is a bad, bad thing for some other teams that are out there. Because he's going to have that desperation. And when you've got the kind of talent that David Johnson has with that desperation, and you're going to get the kind of opportunities that he's going to get, especially behind an offensive line that I think is going to surprise some people in terms of being a good run-blocking offensive line, I think he's on the precipice of a huge year. And I could easily see the Arizona Cardinals approaching him sometime in October, maybe even sooner, if in fact he goes out and shows he's the same guy, proves, David, that he's the same guy he was in 2016. They're not going to wait till the end of the year. Prove it, David. You bury that in your heart. And I guarantee you, it'll never leave you. Prove it. Love that, man.
When you go on your rants, we don't pay attention. So Maloney and I were talking, and we're in a disagreement. We'll let you settle it.
Okay.
I'm looking at all of the NFL stories that are out there.
Yeah.
It's like, these are huge. So we should do that. She thinks you didn't get enough time.
DeAndre Ayton.
She wants more.
Just called out Joel Embiid. Is that a big deal?
Yeah.
You think it's a big deal? I do. I think that's a huge deal. Especially when he's holding the card with a gunshot and a snarl on his face. You think this is a joke, DeAndre?
Did you want to save that for next? I mean, that's why it's written on the board.
Let's go.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Maloney, did you run track?
Wow.
No, I hate running.
You hate running?
DeAndre Ayton.
I mean, you were like lightning coming out of the blocks right there after Wolf.
What are you doing? Jabbing the tiger in the ribs?
Not at all. I have no comment on that one.
Wow. Does DeAndre Ayton know Joel Embiid? Like, are they friends? Are they guys who hang out?
Joel Embiid has
laugh
friends.
With each other, goof off with each other. Are they? I'm asking a serious question.
Not that I know of.
What are you doing, man? DeAndre Ayton? You're poking the tiger.
Not at all. I have no comment on that one.
This is startling right here.
Well, you could argue that Joel Embiid started it, with Joel Embiid being tired of people comparing the two of them, Ayton and Embiid, and when people were doing it, because hardly anybody plays defense anymore in the NBA, they meant it as offensive players, both guys that are light on their feet, move well, have a jumper, can do a lot of things offensively, and Joel Embiid was sick of hearing that comparison, so that's why he sent the tweet, "Don't compare us, I play defense."
I love that tweet.
And this is back from June at the Suns press conference when DeAndre Ayton was asked about, does he have a comment or does he want to respond to Joel Embiid saying that?
Not at all. I have no comment on that one.
Well, a couple days ago, his comment now is his drawing, and it is if you're a horrible artist, it's a good drawing. You know what I mean? Like, if you've ever played a cranium game or something and you're forced to draw, you can tell the people that are just stick figures and god-awful, and then the people that are just amazing with their artwork. Aiden's kind of in the middle. It's not a stick figure, but he drew for Panini. His hand-drawn card is him with a huge shoe right on the face of another player. He's dunking. And then, as he's dunking, if you look at the jersey of the other player, PHI 21.
PHI 21. Let's see, Joel Embiid. I mean, they, right? Come on. This is what's. What do you think Joel Embiid is thinking when he sees this? Do you think he's? I just can't. He's so funny. Really? There was another picture you guys actually showed me where DeAndre Ayton was holding the card and he was flexing his muscle and making a fist and snarling at the camera. Now, my question is this, DeAndre, do you understand what this means? That is a call out. Do you think Joel Embiid's intensity level is going to be sky high when you play him? I'm asking a question. Do you think DeAndre Ayton understands that and realizes that? That right now, it's not just going to be another game. Oh, you know what, this young kid, DeAndre Ayton, it's just not going to be another game to Joel Embiid now. This is going to be about my floor cred, my court cred. This is going to be a game, this is a league of grown men, DeAndre. I just hope he understands what it is that he's doing, I guess. That's what I'm saying right now. Because if I'm just trying to put myself in a position where I had talent. That's very difficult. It's very difficult to do it if I put myself into a position where I actually had talent. But I can tell you right now, this is like me calling out Lawrence Taylor. Hey, Lawrence, guess what, baby? You know what's coming to you? You know, this league, and there are guys in this league that take their profession seriously. And I think Joel Embiid is one of those guys. This is not a laughing matter. He just called out Joel Embiid. His intensity level is going to be sky high. I hope DeAndre realizes my intensity level better be sky high. Every game, let alone that game. And if it is, wow. There could be some sparks.
I don't think you can change people. I don't like this aspect of DeAndre Ayton, but if I'm right, I think this is a good thing. Here's what I mean. Anybody that's a U of A fan, I think you would agree. There was DeAndre Ayton, excellent college basketball player, and there was DeAndre Ayton at Eugene. Those are two totally different people. the DeAndre Ayton that
you're
played
about when he got called up
against Oregon.
Yes,
when he was accused of of taking the $100,000.
Right.
When his coach wasn't there, and it was, you want to take me on? You want to challenge my integrity? This is what you get, Oregon. That was, those were two completely different players from almost every other game in that season and that game. That game, it was, that was Hall of Fame type stuff from a college player. Okay, it was phenomenal. His intensity, his level of focus on that game and everything he did. All the other games, it was, man, this kid's got unbelievable potential. Do you see this? Do you see this? Do you see this? He did so many things well, but it was still just, you've earned the number one pick, but a lot of other players over the years have earned the number one pick. Where,
yes.
You know, that Oregon game was different. With this, I don't like the fact that he did this. I don't see the point in it. Be, as you would say, internally motivated to be great every day.
Yes.
I don't know if he necessarily is because the stark contrast between Eugene, Oregon, and everything else. But I do think he's the type of person that talks trash or needs to do things to fire him up. And if that's what it takes, fine. If that's who you are, do it for everybody. Let's go.
I just would not suggest that when you're 19 years old and you're trying to make your way coming in as a rookie. I would not suggest that you sit there and try to call everybody else out. This is not a wise thing to do. And as a matter of fact, if I am the team, Joel Embiid right now, his agents, his representatives, whatever it may be, the 76ers, I'm telling them, do not respond to this. Do not respond to this whatsoever. Just go respond when you play them. Don't respond to this.
I think this is going to be the norm. I really do. Because you look at a guy like, you look at a guy like Devin Booker. Devin Booker talks almost as much trash as Larry Bird did. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
On the court?
But on the court, everything, and he doesn't do it out to everybody else, things like
that.
Got
no problem.
And yet, I think, it, and even though I'm talking about a young guy, I think more and more of the younger generation talks just as much trash, but they're so used to putting their entire life out there that it's going to be trash talk in public. It's going to be Instagram trash. It's going to be stuff that's going to be available for everybody to see. I don't think they keep it quiet.
I don't think this is a young guy that understands the intensity level of what he's just stepped into and a paradigm. We'll see.
They play Philadelphia.
Hopefully he should play that way then.
Twice a year. Hopefully he, I'd like to see him say that about LeBron. Okay, you can play the Lakers four times. Let's do that. You're up your game. Let's go.
I'm gonna go ahead and draw a picture of me dunking on you with my foot on your face. Is that okay? It's all fun and games. We're just gonna, you know what? This is either the best thing that could possibly happen because the Suns got a guy that is an athletic freak who is just as nasty as you can possibly be and intense and competitive as you could be. Or they just got Dwight Howard. Let's all have fun about it. Isn't it funny looking at Joel? I drew this picture. It's funny, isn't it? We're going to laugh when we compete against each other, aren't we? Right? It's one of those two things. Either he's genuine and sincere, and this is, oh my goodness, this is, oh! Or you know what? He's Dwight Howard.
I can't stand Dwight Howard.
Hey, Joel, isn't it going to be funny when we play? Did you see what I drew?
Coming up next, Josh Rosen.
Wow.
I don't have anything else to say. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I want to win Super Bowl. I want to be the winningest quarterback in the history of the National Football League.
Keeping tabs on the Cards rookie QB. This is the Rosen Wrap on the Doug and Wolf Show.
We're looking to do that. You know, I spoke about that after the game, and we'll give him an opportunity to get in there with the ones and, again, get into a rhythm and really get the timing down with those guys.
See, this week?
Yes, this week.
That means Josh Rosen will actually be a quarterback with the starting lineup, the ones out on the field. We don't specifically know if that means Larry Fitzgerald, if that means David Johnson, but you do automatically assume with the porousness of, is that a word, of the offensive line after the substitutions came in, that it didn't look good and it was hard to see what Josh Rosen can do, and therefore have Josh Rosen in there with the ones to really evaluate how he's progressed in this offense, and he'll do it against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, Doug Lee. So I think the ones are probably going to get anywhere from maybe 17 to 22 reps, maybe 20 if you just want to round it off and say 20 would be idealistically a rep total that Steve Wilks would probably like to get his ones. Now, last week, as we all know, it was 10 reps. And because they took the ball and bada bing, bada boom, I say 10, even though it was an 8-play drive, because they actually called 10 plays. Two penalties nullified those plays, right? But there were 10 reps in the game. So I could easily see them going to 20 reps in this game, and yet using Sam Bradford in a very, very similar kind of way. If Sam Bradford is moving the ball and bada bing, bada boom, they're moving down the field, they'll keep him on the field. For how many plays that is, I don't know. But let's just say it's like last week. It's 8 plays. Then I think what he'll do is put Josh Rosen into the game, right? Put him in with the ones, knowing he's going to play the ones anywhere from 20 or maybe even 25. I doubt that. That seems high for a preseason game number 2. Put him in for 12 reps and let him go out there and rep it out with the ones. I think, yeah, I could easily see that happening. And then Mike Glennon actually getting reps with the twos and then having Charles Knopf. Don't call him Chad. Charles Knopf. And by the way, this Knopf kid, he's continuing to impress.
Yeah.
And practice.
Yeah.
This is a guy that I think is a perfect candidate for the practice squad.
There's one thing Steve Wilks said yesterday at his press conference, and this kind of relates to Josh Rosen as the number twos were in at the offensive line and threes. And it was, I hope it's semantics. Because if I ask you, are you concerned about this, whatever it might be, and you say, hey, this is my job, you know, so, you know, I'm going to do my job. I don't have to worry about what other people's job, stuff like that. I get it. But it is the job of the front office to provide depth for the head coach. Steve Wilks' job is not evaluate other talent, college and pro, sign guys, bring them in. So I understand if he's arguing semantics, but he was asked if he's concerned with the offensive line depth. I don't know how you watch that game and say you're not concerned with the offensive line depth, unless you're arguing the semantics of, hey, that's not my job to bring guys in. My job is just to coach who you give me. But he said he's not concerned.
I'm not really concerned about it. I think we have a good group. They made progress all the way back from OTAs and mini camp. It was an opportunity to be able to see where we are right now, and we're going to get better at that position. So I think we have some guys in that second group that's going to step up and perform well.
Yeah, you absolutely have got to have 7 guys. 7 guys on that offensive line. Now, you're typically going to keep anywhere from 8 to 10 in different forms, right? To different varying degrees, maybe on the practice squad as well. But 8 guys maybe that will be on the 53-man roster, 7 are going to be active on game day. That's why you've got to have one guy that can play the interior, a guy that can play center and guard, and then another guy that can go anywhere, tackle and guard, probably not center, unless you've got the guys like Earl Watford. Earl Watford could play anywhere. Think about that. That's just so, so valuable to a team where a guy could play all 5 positions on the offensive line,
so
including center.
So you're saying it's impressive that Bruce Matthews was an all-pro, or pro bowler
goodness.
At all 5 spots at
Think
one point
about
in his career.
Just
it's crazy.
Crazy.
Speaking of the center position, this was really strange. I'm really having a hard time totally understanding. I wasn't there, so I couldn't ask a follow-up, and I apologize. But the conversation with Daniel Munyer about how bad the snaps were in the performance he had in preseason game number 1, it kind of shook me a little bit.
I did feel bad because it was when Josh was in that quarterback, and I just, you know, I told him after, I was like, man, I'm sorry. I didn't even know I was doing that until it was too late. And that definitely killed some momentum in terms of timing with the throws and everything like that. And, you know, I'm aware of that, but as a player, you got to bounce back, and that's what it's about. It's how, what you do after that.
So let's first talk about the man's character. He had a terrible game and went right to the media, opened up, said, "It's my fault. I feel terrible. I apologize to Rosen."
Yes.
So when you judge him as a human being, let's give him high marks. When we judge the situation as a football player and as a football team, I got to chalk this up to I'm the problem, meaning me, talk show host, because I don't understand how a guy could throw ground balls back and he doesn't know. The quarterback doesn't say anything in the huddle to him about it. And then when he says, "I didn't know until it was too late," that was on two different series. It was really bad. So didn't somebody say something to him while he's on the bench between series?
Yeah.
And you could have fixed it then when you say it was too late. That answer, I think I'm good at sitting here and telling you, being in the business this long, here's what somebody said, here's what they really mean,
right.
Or hearing different issues that they said or telling you while I was there, there was a body language problem with the way the guy said it, I don't believe that he really meant it. I have no idea what Daniel Munyer means by "I didn't know until it was too late," because it makes no sense.
I can't improve on anything you just said right there because it's so true. I mean, I'd be repeating, the exact thing you did. And I don't know why I can't talk either. Where's the coffee? I'll tell you why, because I'm still thinking of DeAndre Ayton.
Can I just say, why is
the fact
this
that
feeling,
that story came out over the weekend?
Why isn't this feeling of you not being able to talk hit you at 6:15 as opposed to 9:41 when it's time for Paul's call? Why is that?
I will tell you right now, that is incredible. I'm appalled. I'm appalled with Daniel Munyer saying that, and I'm appalled with DeAndre Ayton. I'm appalled.
Well, you aren't appalled because the Paul is coming up next. Paul's Call on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Speaking of appalled.
Paul's Call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by three. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
I mean, there's just no way that's reality.
That just happened.
We had our $206 million man on the mound.
We can rebuild him.
And the D-backs scored two runs in the top of the first.
We have the technology.
And then lost to...
the elephant in the room.
The elephant on the mound. Bart Fatso Cologne shut us down.
Pollock goes down looking. 8 pitches in the third inning for Bartolo Colon. Who played you at?
45 years old and about 450 in weight.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
Paul, there's no problem being 45.
I mean, no problem feeding on a D-backs lineup. Where the bottom six hitters went a combined 1-for-20. Yeah! In fact, looking at the box score, the pitching line on Bart Fatso, here it is. 2 earned runs, 3 double chins, 4 belt loops busted, 2 steel reinforced suspenders.
Get in my belly!
The guy with a beer belly who should be pitching in a beer league. And he beats us in the middle of August in a pennant race. No wonder you know what's sticking out of our bat rack. The sawed-off shotgun of sports!
Oh.
Sports takes in my AC unit at Casa Calvici in every direction.
Smash, smash, smash!
I'm serious. Anybody got a Louisville Slugger? I'm going to go, like, Office Space with a printer. I'm going to go home and...
smash, smash, smash!
You got any, like, C2 around here, explosives?
Because
I'm just going to... I'm going to hook my Ford up to the AC compressor. I'm going to drag it out into the middle of the street, and then I'm going to drop like an M80 on it, 1970 style.
Paulie, is that why your face is a little shiny right now?
A bit of a sleep deprivation headache.
Got a little beating going on there.
It's just not a good night at Casa Calvici. We need to feel better about ourselves. So you know what? The easiest, quickest thing to do, Wolf, yes?
Yes, the only thing worse than sweaty sheets, Paul, bloody sheets.
The whole family piling into one room, the only room that had AC. It's not a sleepover. Dad's got to get up. So we feel better about ourselves by looking over the block wall into Browns camp.
Baker Mayfield!
That's right.
Oh, no.
Baker Mayfield!
Last we left the Browns, gentlemen, the number one pick overall was getting asked why he's definitely not the number one person to arrive at work every morning.
You ever come in with your boy, Five?
He does his own little workouts in the morning.
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Look at that.
That's
the best thing in the world. Where's your
You heard him. That should be his new nickname. Or maybe actually his new nickname is Jack. Full name?
Jack Squad!
Either way,
the
rookie QB is still news, Doug, so he was mic'd up for his preseason debut.
What do you think, babe? Baker.
This is kind of fun, I'll be honest. Trevor, how you doing?
Bust my ass.
No, I don't know.
I'm going to get it.
A lot of noise there. We see and hear Mayfield in the Browns huddle, and during a stoppage in play, he says, he looks around, he smiles. He's like taking in the moment.
This is kind of fun. I'll be honest.
He's like, this is kind of fun. He's talking to the fellas in the huddle. And, And of course, then, you know, the master editor is at Hard Knocks for this touchdown drive, you know.
They weave in the sound effects. Oh, I mean, Hard Knocks just dripping with the drama in the preseason.
Hey, finish this drive. Finish it.
Come on, baby. Make something happen.
Everybody pulling for Baker. Go, Baker, go.
Go, Speed Racer.
Finish the drive, rookie.
Baker shuffling, throwing, end zone. Caught in the back of the end zone.
Boom. Boom. Boom.
Brown score.
And boom goes the dynamite.
But with all due respect, the real boom came yesterday.
Boom, boom, boom.
After practice, Hugh Jackson was asked about it.
Things seem to get testy out there between.
Oh, I like a little testy. Oh. Testy's good. Oh. I'm surprised we're just now getting testy.
Two big personalities on Hugh's staff getting testy with each other.
What is he doing? What is Calvisi doing?
Okay. Full disclosure, as someone who's, you guys know, as someone who's been ripped by Todd Haley.
You cannot be thinking straight right now, yeah. Calvisi.
It's not fun.
When can we get rid of this guy?
I mean, back in the day, Todd, you hear my feelings.
When I dropped the ball and all the fans threw, it hurt my feelings pretty bad.
Give me the old Bud commercial.
Leon just might need a little Leon time.
It's going to be go time soon for Todd Haley and Greg Williams. During a drill yesterday.
Down. Said, hey, move the feet.
A defender touched the third rail, hit the quarterback, made contact with Baker Mayfield.
No, you can't do that.
That's right. Well, appreciate the energy. Haley yelling to the defense, quote, don't touch the bleeping quarterback in practice. Good teams don't do it. To which the D coordinator, Greg Williams, screamed in response, quote, somebody's got a blanking block him then. That doesn't go over well.
Okay. I guess we're playing for keeps now.
Head coach Hugh Jackson had to step between the coordinators.
They're fine. I mean, those things happen. I mean, we got men that are competing every day. Both sides are competing. That's part of football.
You can't have your coordinators doing a dramatic reenactment of Buddy Ryan against Kevin Gilbride.
I got a winner in town.
The media kept asking about it.
Next question.
Right. Coach.
Did you tell them to calm it down after a little bit?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I get to be headmaster. So they did. Oh. They understand. Okay. But I love.
You know, Hugh Jackson doesn't hesitate to remind everyone that he's head coach.
The guy. I'm the dude, man.
He's just asking.
How do you balance out those two fires?
I balance. I got one myself. Yeah. Okay, so I get to have the supreme fire.
Oh,
so that's what happens every now and then. That's just football.
Supreme fire.
Can I just say, by listening to this, I guarantee you one thing, even though neither of these two men have told me this, I guarantee both coordinators think they're a better head coach than the head coach they've got.
Yeah. But he's got the power.
Dilly
yes,
dilly!
Yes,
he does.
Like the king. In fact, Doug, if you rewind to last week's Hard Knocks, there's a coach's meeting. Haley doesn't like all the veterans' days off.
I have an opinion on it. Uh-huh. We need to get so much done. Uh-huh. You know, and I know I said that to you and we joke about it, but if we live in our fears, I mean, our team has to get mentally tougher and be able to fight through the that we got to fight through.
He's saying, we're the Browns. We need to be the Patriots.
No days off!
And Haley, and he's talking, there's the whole room now, and Hugh Jackson is elevated. He's like up on a throne. And he goes, you know, what gives with giving guys days off?
We got to change this drastically. And if we got guys that haven't done sitting around doing nothing, you know, I just don't know how we're going to do it.
Hugh Jackson says,
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
And reminds everyone it's his team, his decision.
It's your team, you do whatever the hell you want.
When it's your team, you do whatever the hell you want. Okay, so this one's mine. So that's just the way it's going to be. And that is of respect of everybody in this room. But this is how we do it.
It's good to be Hugh.
It's good to be the king.
Wow. Big finish.
It's time once again for No Comprendo.
All right, so some people just show up and win.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
You know, Wolf was born with that silver spoon in his mouth.
I am an expert.
You know, anyway, this family is now in the record books because...
August 13th is a special day for Sarah Peeler of Orange, California. That's her birthday, and she shares it with her father and her grandmother, and now her newborn daughter was born on Monday, 8/13.
All the same birthday.
No comprendo.
Four generations born on August 13th.
Peeler says this is something she and her husband never planned for.
Right. Once we reached the week of, I think we both looked at each other and said, I think we're going to do it.
Probably so.
I think we're going to hit the day. It's just fate.
The odds are more than 1,000,000 to 1.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Not sure what that gets you other than the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes, ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
It's pretty crazy. It's time for the U.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Mental error!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the U! It's all about
the U! Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show just came out of Jets camp, where Todd Bowles said, quote, I feel that he should keep his mouth shut and leave the injuries to me.
Ooh. If the D-backs finish a game out of the playoffs, I'm looking at Bart Fatso Cologne.
The Phoenix Suns got themselves a baller. Or Dwight Howard. Peace and strength.